I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to Propaganda. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. We thank them for their support. You can get 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan, Michael and Rob back in the studio 12 hours on or thereabouts from the Man City affair. Is that what we're going to call it? You've slept on it now. Michael, you're still COVID jab booster side affected. How's things for you?
I feel hungover, which is
normal for you on a morning,
etc. I didn't feel great going to bed or waking up this morning in any respect. Just like one of those things where you know, I think you kicked off with a Peep Show quote last time. But you know, you remember the bad thing when you wake up and you go,
you're still thinking about the bad thing.
God, what happened last night?
We were saying that the last few weeks we've had late goals and been going to bed just full of adrenaline and angst, whereas last night I just got home and sort of self-loathing in a dark room.
See, I didn't even have that. I just, my ambivalence from last night just continued into today. I just, what's the point in getting upset about it? I don't really feel anything about it. And that in itself is a bit worrying.
I feel a bit of something.
Is it sad?
It's sad. Yeah. It is sad. And it's I think it's a concern for what is to come, I think. It did ask some more serious questions, I think.
Do you know what I think we saw last night? The one thing I've resolved from last night is we saw kind of a perfect storm. It was a meeting of two sets of circumstances. It was, number one, the short-term problems of having injuries. But then it met with the systematic failings of Bielsa's dogma, you know, like the tiny squad, like total control over transfers, that kind of thing. It all came together, didn't it, on one night up against an absolutely unbelievable team.
I mean, Philip actually asked a good question. He was saying that...
The point of the show, by the way, if you are new to it, Propaganda is where we find out what's been said about Leeds United.
Loads of people did fill in the feedback form, so thank you.
Thanks, yeah. we ask for feedback from our...
You did well, because I probably wouldn't have bothered. I'd just be like, just piss off.
From our TSB Plus subscribers who give us feedback, and we find out what their opinion was on Leeds, and then we find out what they... The opposition fans think about it, but might not do that today.
Probably not going to bother. There's no need, just to hear some happy Man City fans. But yeah, Philip was making the point that if we swapped managers last night, the results probably exactly the same, because both managers would have probably insisted on playing in their own way. And if we'd have had really good players, we'd have won. And if they'd have had really a load of injuries and a weakened team and not as good players in the first place, they may have lost 7-0.
Well, just looking through the topics of stuff we've received. Can we talk about something else? A number of people asked that. Yes, and that's probably going to be a big theme for this show.
Yeah, I put a few of the questions that other people asked to talk about something else are in the are in the Man City section. I thought it was good to move them about.
The Omicron Ultras coming out of the woodwork now, hoping for a shutdown. The Gulf, I mean, presumably they're on about golfing class rather than the Persian Gulf.
Indeed.
Are Man City the best team in the world? Financial doping, small positives. Oh. Grealish Roberts fans, light show. Yeah, pathetic. I mean, did I retweet that from the Square Ball account? Somebody tweeted us saying that, get ready, go take your seats inside the stadium. The live show is about to begin. Like it's the theatre and you're going to go watch.
Was it the light show maybe?
Or maybe.
Possibly. Who knows?
Why have we got a light show? Those lights are functional. They just illuminate the pitch for telly.
No, there was some flashing stuff going on.
Rubbish, don't do it.
Brighton did it the other week, didn't they? It was like a firework display.
Although I do, because we're close to Elland Road here, aren't we, as well? And I do recall when we got the new lights put in that they were testing them and ours can do that. I just don't think they're stupid enough to do it.
Fair enough.
Like disco lights.
I think now wouldn't be the time, to be honest. Pre-game.
Coming against Arsenal.
Get it early.
Hey, Alan Rhodes lit up like a Christmas tree.
We're going to have the highlights of the last game on, along with some light show.
Gelhart and transfers, this or the championship, Firpo, the 49ers, unforgivable, etc., etc. So where do you want to go in on this one? Can we keep it, just do it as quickly as possible? We might not name check you all. Loads of people have got in touch, but why indulge ourselves in so much misery?
Well, this or the championship is a fair question, I think, because people...
it might not be our decision soon.
Well, yeah. Ross making the point, as a 24-year-old Leeds fan, I don't feel as dreadful about that as I did against Nottingham Forest, Preston and Sheffield Wednesday all those years ago.
Yeah.
True. But
that was when it was utterly hopeless, wasn't it? Whereas this one, you can, as much as we were sort of saying there about it being, you know, a perfect storm, you can almost push a certain number of fixtures this season just off to one side and go, well, it happens, doesn't it?
Mm.
I'm kind of in for a penny, in for a pound with BL, so this is what you're going to get now and again.
Yeah, I feel a bit kind of the opposite though in that, you know, when we got beat 6-1 at Sheffield Wednesday, we knew Jason Pearce was rubbish. Whereas I like these players and I think they're good. So watching him get beat 7-0 is kind of heartbreaking a little bit. And I mean, I don't know, I do think we forget how awful the championship is for a long park while we were there. I mean, it's just relentless, isn't it? There's so many games you've got to play. You're constantly playing. You're constantly playing terrible teams. And yeah, it's a bit awful. But I don't really like getting beat 7-0 either.
Jack asked the question, given the nature of Premier League fans and the death of legacy fans, wouldn't it actually be nice to go back to playing historic clubs like Bolton and Preston rather than sports watching propaganda projects with virgins saying ratio and cry more?
Yeah.
Actually quite looking forward to the prospect of relegation. Or is it just a coping mechanism? It's a coping mechanism.
I was texting...
Because I occasionally do it myself. I think,
I was texting my mate's a Newcastle fan and, you know, they're... we were chatting about this clause in Trippier's deal. It looks like it's going to happen potentially where they're going to maybe pay 25, 30 million for it, which is insane because he's 31. But, you know, Newcastle tax and all that. And we were just chatting about the clause, like they've got, he's going to have a relegation fixed price release clause built into his contract. And it's just another perfect example of footballers as mercenaries. And as part of that conversation, I was saying, well, you know, what's the point in the Premier League? The dice is loaded against you, isn't it? Completely. Anything that upsets like the top clubs as they are now is going to be met with huge resistance. And I said, you know, in the next 6 to 18 months, we'll be taken over by the 49ers. We'll probably become more sterile as an operation. If we stay up, they'll push the button on redeveloping Elland Road. And I said, I quite like it as a shithole.
Yeah.
I just want it all to be like it was. And we've said before that, you know, I want it to be like it was when I was growing up and never change.
My stance on it has always been, I don't want us to be richer. I want everyone else poorer.
Mm.
And I think that would make it would make the league a better place. Peeboo, in fact, saying, it's simple economics. 9 of their starting 11 cost more than Rodrigo. They bought on three subs who cost more than our starting 11.
It's going to ruin my quiz that I'm bringing to the table. When I was 12, we got promoted. When I was 14, we won the championship. I'd just like to stay in that that mindset forever. It was a long time ago, though, now.
That's been sort of the beautiful thing about Bielsa's first three seasons is that we felt like we've defied like modern football and how it's meant to go. And then this season,
we get
to return after, you know, a season 18 months away. And we've just been hit by a real slap in the face of reality. And that's kind of the more time we've been back, the more kind of sad I've got that we missed promotion and that first season, because like we were just running away from reality and it was brilliant. But now we've got back and, it, you know, the crowd is still amazing. The atmosphere is still great. But what we're watching on the pitch is not what we'd been spoiled with, basically.
Mm. I think it's within a few days as well that we went to Chelsea. We're so unlucky to not get a point. And it maintains that thing of, well, on our day, set up properly, with the way we play, we can still cause problems for these teams. We can still get something. And then we just went there and it was very clear from within 5 minutes of that game when we'd basically not left our own half. And it was like, oh God, this is going to be a very long afternoon. But then again, the game against Man City last year, the home game in particular, they did exactly the same. So in the first 10 minutes, they were battering us. And I was kind of thinking, oh God, let's just end this now. I'm quite happy to take like a 2 or 3 nil defeat here. But then we came back into it and we were able to get a foothold in the game and build from it. And we actually had them on the ropes for quite a bit of that. But that just, it never looked like happening yesterday.
Well, we can address some of the topics that have been sent in to us in one fell swoop with my quiz that I want to put to you now. Let's have a bit of fun with it. There's no point in sitting here moaning about how shit things are. Let's have some fun with it, shall we? So Jeff and Peeboo have got in touch about the financial doping aspect of it. We can address that with my quiz. Man City, the best team in the world, question mark. We can probably address that. In my quiz, thanks to Lorne Jack.
Putting a lot of faith in your quiz.
And it's great. It's a format you probably won't have heard of before.
Are we not splitting this off into a Man City section then anymore? We haven't got anything.
Well, let's call this let's call this the Man City section.
Just do one. We'll just do one section for this.
Oh, you've got a quiz, haven't you, as well?
I've got a quiz too.
Right, well, let's do the Man City quiz first, and then we'll do your quiz afterwards.
My quiz is also about Man City.
Well, let's call this the Leeds United half. We're nowhere near as good as Man City then, all right? And this addresses the Gulf. This is addressing talking about something else. Are you ready? Here it comes then. Here we go. Recognise that? Play your cards right. Have you heard of that format?
Yes, long time ago.
It's where you go.
It was Bruce, wasn't it?
It was. It's where you go higher or lower. So what I've got here is, I didn't really watch the game last night. I sat and just, put this quiz together, and I looked at the transfer value of every player in Manchester City's starting 11 and on their bench as well. It's frightening. Do you want to know what the total is now of Manchester City's first 11? How much they cost?
I think someone put it on the sheet. Actually, I'm sure someone said it was like 700 million or something. Oh, I think it was nearly 800 million was the full squad. I think.
Yes,
yeah,
you've got about 527 million on the pitch. Mm-hmm. You've got 176 million on the bench, at my calculation. It's gone over 700 million mm-hmm. as Manchester City's lineup from last night. Plus, I worked out they had 177 million pounds worth of players missing last night as well. So you're talking the thick end of a billion quid, basically. You're at about, what's that, eight, seven? Yeah, you're talking approaching 900 million quid there. So let's call it a billion with players. Like, you know, Phil Foden, for example, spoiler alert, didn't cost them anything, but it, you know, cost you many, many tens of millions now to...
I mean, they did spend 200 million quid on a training complex, which you have to factor a bit of that into. In fact, I was writing the intro for the new mag this morning, and I was just kind of looking at where they've spent their money, Man City, and you have got to factor in that, you know, we were draining the swimming pool and getting players to bring in packed lunches while Man City were opening a £200 million academy. So even their players who are on the bench, they've not come from nowhere. They've, you know, oh God, Dan, turn it off.
I'm not. We're playing the game.
Let's make it quick then. Come on.
Right. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through their team and we're going to go higher or lower. So you're going to get the transfer value of one player and then you're going to go, is it higher or lower? All right. Mm-hmm. The prize at the end of it, nothing, is there? There's no prize.
Okay.
It's like the Premier League. You don't get anything just for being there. Right, so we're starting off with Edison. Do you know how much Edison was?
About 50.
I assume all City players are about 50 million.
Yeah, you're not actually far wrong. Edison was actually only a mere £35 million for a goalkeeper. Okay, so he's player number one. Next in the lineup, let's go to John Stones. Was he higher or lower than 35 million? What do you reckon?
He was higher. He was 50, wasn't he?
Yeah, again, he's in that 45 to 50 ballpark, I reckon.
Absolutely spot on. You're saying higher, yep. Correct. John Stones was higher. He was exactly £50 million, according to the report. So let's go from John Stones. Are you enjoying this?
It's all right.
Yeah, good, yeah.
All right.
John Stones to Ruben Diaz in the lineup. Are we going higher or lower than £50 million? What are you going to say? Higher or lower?
I'd say higher.
Higher. They bought him
Harry Maguire levels, weren't they?
Yeah, they only bought him last year as well, didn't they? And basically, and the more recent a transfer is,
he was bought using a buyout clause, like a fixed price.
Yeah.
Price buyout clause in his contract.
Oh, the Hadi Sacco clause.
Yes, indeed.
You're going higher? You are correct. It was higher. £62 million. Okay. All right. £62 million. Then we move on to Aymeric Laporte, who played for them. Was Laporte higher or lower than £62 million? What are you going for? Work this one through in your head.
I think he was another that they paid a buyout clause for.
I think you might be about right, yeah.
I'd go lower just because he's less recent than Diaz.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like he's a ridiculous sum of money as well.
I think he's probably over 50, but a bit less than Diaz.
Absolutely spot on. You've gone lower. He was 57 million. Well done. Three out of three so far.
Snip.
It's going well. Should find this one quite easy. Then Zinchenko.
He was definitely less.
Less than 57 million, yes. You're saying? Do you know how much he was?
No. It's the short answer.
£1.7 million.
Oh, that's bargain, though.
Zinchenko, yeah. So you went lower there. Do you think Kevin De Bruyne was higher or lower than £1.7 million? What do you reckon?
Who's better? Who would you rather have?
Who's better value for money?
Well, yeah.
De Bruyne, he kicked it dead hard, didn't he? So you pay a premium for the hard kick.
Did Kevin De Bruyne score more than one last night? He did, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was more than Zinchenko.
You're saying higher than £1.7 million. Correct. He was £55 million was Kevin De Bruyne. Right, oh, this is where it starts to get tough. If you get to the end of this one, you'll find it quite easy. Because Grealish and Foden at the end. On to Rodri. Was he higher or lower than £55 million?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was higher and it was just mental.
I'm going to go lower, but I don't know.
Come on, have a confer, have a think about it.
I actually have no idea.
Again, that's more recent, which just makes me think.
That's true. Yeah, they bought De Bruyne several years ago, didn't they? When 50 million quid was a lot of money.
Mm. And Rodri was just a backup to Fernandinho, which makes me think he was probably like £70 million.
Yeah, let's go more. Let's go higher.
You're saying higher?
Higher, not more. Sorry, that's not using the right.
Get the words right. You're saying higher than £55 million for Rodri. You are correct. It was £62.6 million for Rodri. Right. So from Rodri to Bernardo Silva, are we going higher or lower?
They've had him a while. He'll be lower.
Than £62.6 million.
I reckon we're going back to the 50 million ballpark there for Silva.
Yeah, they've had him a while, I think, Silva.
You're absolutely right. Correct to say lower. He was 50 million euro, which I've gone for the lower value because the deal was 50 million euro rising to 70 million. So there's a lot of change built into that potentially. Clauses and whatever. Works out to 43.5 million basic fee. But I wanted to err on the side of caution there. I won't want to overstate the value of these players or anything. So congratulations. All right so far. Hold on. So from Bernardo Silva, we go to Riyad Mahrez. You should get that one quite easily, I imagine. Higher or lower? Higher or lower than 43.5?
Yeah, they pay like 70 million for him or something.
60 million I've got. Jeez. So you're correct to say higher. Congratulations.
We're really expecting too much out of Rodrigo, aren't we?
Yeah. And then you just got two left and you'll get these dead easy because the next one is Jack Grealish. Higher or lower than £60 million?
Yep, higher.
Higher, yeah. He was £100 million. Do you know what? That's more expensive than our entire lineup last night.
Yeah.
And then from Jack Grealish, we go higher or lower with Phil Foden. Was Phil Foden more or less, higher or lower than £100 million?
I'm going to go for a shade lower.
What do you think he was?
£0.
£0?
Nice kitchen for his mum or something like that. That was the old thing people used to say about youth players.
Yeah. Congratulations. You got them all absolutely spot on. So on that value, with the conservative valuation of Bernardo Silva, £526.8 million. And I timed it with the end of the music as well. That was skill.
I was going to say professional, but lucky.
I used to do that for a fucking minute. The insults.
Don't anymore, do you?
No, I don't. Got laid off, didn't I? But on their bench, we put the music back on for the bench.
No, you're right.
Okay, fine. Nathan Ake, do you know how much he was?
Let's say 50 million. They paid 50 million pounds for every defender.
No, you've overguessed it. It was 41. Fernandinho.
50 million pounds.
A bit less. He's been there ages.
Yeah, he's been there ages. He'll have been 25.
34.
Oh.
Then we got three children with some double-barreled names. Ignore all them. Sterling.
He was loads, wasn't he, at the time?
He was around 50. Why were you saying it for everyone? But
49 million.
Again, that was worth more at the time, though, wasn't it?
Mm. It was a ridiculous transfer at the time. Stefan. Yeah. Stefan, they paid a fee for Stefan.
Stefan Dennis?
Yep. Stefan Iversen.
Did I mention him last night? I looked him up at some point during the game. I can't remember if I mentioned it, but he was like 6 million quid, wasn't he?
Five.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we've got two more.
Have they still got Scott Carson?
Good question. I don't know.
At one point they had Scott Carson on the books, didn't they, bizarrely?
Gabriel Jesus.
Let's say 50 million.
No, you've wildly overestimated. He was a mere snip. He was a Rodrigo. He was £27 million.
Oh, okay.
Gabriel Scott Carson Jesus. Is still at Man City.
Brilliant.
And just to round it off then, Gundogan.
Ooh, I think he was relatively cheap.
He was, yeah.
Like 30 or something.
Just £20 million. Not bad value. So yeah, that's 176 million on the bench. And then you factor in all the players who are missing, suspended or whatever. Another 177 million in their squad. So did you enjoy that quiz then? You got a 100% record. Well done.
It's good, wasn't it?
Your knowledge of football finances, absolutely brilliant.
Although I think we'd have just guessed 50 million for all of them, apart from Zinchenko and Grealish probably.
I did actually then, just as a counterpoint to this, work out the value of our squad. And we've got Melier at 5. Shackleton was free. Ailing at 0.2 million. Llorente, 17 million. Firpo, 13 million. Dallas, 1.5. Tyler Roberts, 4. Forshaw, 4.5 or thereabouts. Harrison, 11. Rafinha, 17. Daniel James, we conservatively estimated him at, what, 25, should we say? Mm. That brings you out at about 81, 82 million pounds. Oh.
Which is still a lot. And I'm still not having it that we should have lost 7-0.
And then
I feel like we can.
I'm finished with our bench.
Oh, sorry.
Greenwood, let's say million. Drama, million. Mm. Jenkins and Creswell, free. Gelhart, million. Somerville, 1.5. McCarron was about 250,000. Click, 1.5. Clarkson, 1.5. Under £8 million worth of talent, basically, there on the bench. So you're bringing the whole thing in at under a Grealish.
Yeah, I'm still not having it. Still should have lost 7-0.
And that's the end of my quiz, aren't I? I even prepared like an end stab, you see.
That is nice.
Do you like that?
Yeah. Yeah, a few people agreeing with me, basically saying that you can't. Wisconsin, Todd, Joe, Martin.
Oh, back at the misery now.
All essentially saying, well, we had enough fun there, haven't we? That's enough. Although well done on picking some 80s entertainers who haven't been accused of anything. So that was good. Managed to at least get through that. Yeah, just saying we can't lose 7-0. It's not acceptable. We weren't playing with actual children in the game. It was there were 11 professional footballers out there.
Against 11 other professional footballers.
Who should be able to organise themselves to not lose 7-0.
But it's not their job to organise themselves, is it? It's the manager's job to organise themselves.
Bielsa out, you say.
That's exactly what you said, Michael.
Yeah, I mean that. I have seen it.
Well, I was going to say, just on that, let me ask a question about it. Because I don't think anybody in their right mind would necessitate booting him out now at all. But do you think last night, and I guess this is a question we can pose to Phil Hay as well, because he's generally quite sensible and informed. Do you think it's exposed the absolute limitation of his method? And do you think it confirmed last night that this will be his last season?
It's felt for a while like it's probably his last season, I would say. But that's not really based on anything.
I mean, every season sort of feels like his last season.
Thanks, Michael.
Like every season feels like his last season, doesn't it? Because of just the way he works. And I think, waking up the morning after a 7-0 defeat, I was very much like, we need to sign loads of players in January. Mm. And yeah, Bielsa will probably go in the summer. But we don't know, do we? I mean, it was interesting before the game, Phil Hay on his Athletic web chat thing said that Calvin Phillips' injury has sort of convinced the club that they really need to buy someone in January. Mm. But then Bielsa comes out after the game and says, you know, the same things of it depends on fitness and whether they're better than what we've got. But then, I mean, with Shackleton getting injured yesterday as well, he's getting to the point where the club needs to be, we really need someone.
And I think they're nervous. I think they must be feeling it.
But also, you know, he's talking about we need to sign players better than what we've got, but we're not necessarily trying to sign someone that's better than Rafinha. Maybe we just need someone that's better than Shackleton.
A child.
Or Jack Jenkins or someone like that. You know, we don't have to sign a star striker or someone who's going to be the best player in our team. But
well, this is what I got into the argument with Moscow about the other week, but didn't articulate it particularly well because I didn't have the words available to my brain that you've just put forward there, Rob. But that's probably what I was getting. That's at the crux of what I was getting at. We just maybe just need a few better players.
But I think January might give us signs about what Bielsa is going to do in the summer, because if he's absolutely adamant that he only wants players that are better than our starting 11, but the club are like, no, you need to have these players, that's maybe where friction occurs. Or maybe Bielsa accepts that the club has done so much to keep him happy and what he wants that maybe he does have to give on something. Mm. But I don't know.
I feel like there's still chance for redemption here, because we play Arsenal in a few days.
If we beat Arsenal, it'd be great, won't it?
If we beat Arsenal, it's kind of fine. Like, every team in the bottom half will go to Man City and lose. I know someone will say, oh, well, actually, Brentford drew there or something. There'll be some example of a result otherwise. But generally speaking, every single team will, home and away, lose to Man City, just because that's the way it is. And at the end of the season, losing 7-0 doesn't make a vast difference to losing 2-0. Like,
it's only 3 points, isn't it?
It still is. I know goal difference can count, but it rarely does, truthfully, in relegation battles. It's generally speaking, it makes no difference at all. So if Bielsa's methods win us another game but lose us this one, does it matter? I don't know. It feels like it sort of does, but maybe it's just the way it looks, because 7-0 is so hard to take. And I mean, we've seen it last year as well with the spanking we got at Man U. And truthfully, the spanking we could have had in the Liverpool game this year as well, where we sort of got away with it, I think, a bit that home game, because they had a lot of chances in that, and that could have turned ugly in the same way this one did. Like, there have been signs of this before, but then we've always come out the game after and played all right. So I don't know. I feel like it probably has run its course this season, at the end of this season, but I feel like sacking him prematurely would be a disaster for us, because this squad is so set up to play with his methods. I feel like anyone else coming in would be like inheriting something that they can't do anything with.
And his methods, they work to hopefully a good enough extent to keep us in this division. Yeah. And now we've all reset our sights on just staying up. Hopefully it should be enough, because as I've said loads of times in recent weeks, it's not very good for the Premier League. We just need to get some runs on the board and quickly. Mm. And I know Liverpool is a massive, but you look at the fixtures coming up, and Arsenal, you look at that, we could get something from that game. Liverpool, you go, yeah, fine, probably not. But then after that, there's some achievable games. We just need some bodies back and some runs on the board.
I do think as well that the more adversity there is, the more Bielsa kind of enjoys it and is probably more inclined to stay again. I don't know. But yeah, he likes the challenge, doesn't he? And I think he almost perversely likes how thin a squad he can cope with. But
it's that we can't cope with a thin squad.
Yeah, it's just, it's stressful this season, and it has been throughout. If you look at the form table, we're still all right. We're still like pretty much in the middle of it, I think, because it's, even after a couple of defeats, we're not playing terribly. And it, I think the Chelsea game, if we got a point out of that, it probably changes how we view this as well, because you can go, well, a point from those two games, better than you could have hoped for, truthfully. So never mind about the 7-0, but we didn't, did we?
No.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Part two of the show, where technically we should be finding out what the opposition fans thought about the game at the Etihad. Do we have any desire to address that whatsoever?
I mean, a few things here. It's we were back in here a few hours after recording last night, so normally I have like a day to go through and listen to what they've said. Didn't really want to do that anyway, but I only had a few hours as it was, and I also had to collate things from the Leeds fans and also write a little bit for the mag. So instead of listening to them, I've done my own quiz for this part.
Good stuff. Do you need any theme music for it?
give us a little stab just because I know you've set it up.
There you go. Here's great. Michael Normanson.
Great stuff. I prefer that to the long version, to be honest.
What, this? What? No, I won't do it.
No. Apart, we don't want to get demonetized again by YouTube. So, yeah, so I know you went for the high end of Man City's squad. I was just looking through at other players they've signed, players you have maybe never heard of. So all of these, well, I've got, the way I've structured this is there are five Manchester City players who they have paid more than £5 million for.
Right.
And there are five dance champions on this list.
What's a dance champion?
People who've won ballroom dancing titles, that sort of a thing. You just have to tell me which they are.
Have you not got a snappy name for this, like dancer or
no.
Footballer? Or
no. Like I said, I was pushed for time.
Yeah. And it's quite, well, let's have a think about it. If anyone listening does think of a good one, send it to us, then we can retrospectively address it, or we'll have a think while we're playing it.
You can do this as a team if you want, or individually. It's up to you. Probably just confer, I think.
Football or ballroom?
Baller or ballroom?
Baller or ballroom. Right? Yep.
That'll do, won't it?
Footballer or... yeah.
So number one, Pedro Porro.
Pedro Porro.
If you might have heard of one of these players. I'm not sure. I hadn't, personally.
I feel like sort of years of playing too much Football Manager is going to stand me in good stead here.
It sounds like a regen, does Pedro Porro? I don't know.
I think he is a randomer they've signed.
What, a footballer, you think? Yeah. All right, well, I'll go with Rob.
Okay. Number two.
I'll write these down.
Because there are five of each, so I don't want to give it away because that'll obviously allow you to allow you to narrow it down as we go. Arunas Bizokas.
Arunas. Now, see, that to me sounds like a footballer. I don't know why.
I'm less convinced by that one, but it could be anything.
I feel like Rob's cheated by playing Football Manager.
What do you feel there, Rob? I'm willing to bend to your knowledge here because
I can't think of seeing him in the depths of Football Manager.
Mm.
So I'd go ballroom, but
okay, we'll go ballroom on that.
Number three is Ricardo Cocchi, Cocchi.
Feels a lot like looking down a list of Leeds loanees. Did he play? I don't have a clue on that one.
Ballroom? Should we go ballroom?
Yeah.
And ballroom.
Number four, Nahuel Bustos.
That's a footballer, isn't it? with a name like that.
Confidence from Dan. What position does he play? in the utility man.
He sort of, he drifts really. He's a utility man. Yeah, he's sometimes out wide,
let's do
sometimes
Dallas.
Through the middle. Sometimes he'll go forward, sometimes he'll be back. It all depends on, you know, situations in a game.
Mm. Number four, Michael Malatowski.
That was number four.
Oh. Number five, of course. Great. Michael Malatowski.
Malatowski. What are you feeling, Rob?
Well, I'm putting all the ones that I don't know as ballroom, but I feel like that's probably not the best idea, so I might just go footballer on this one.
You're saying footballer.
Well, there are five of each, so you might be able to narrow it down. Okay. Afterwards. Number six is Diego Rosa.
This is actually really difficult. I'm going to Google him.
No, you can't Google him. That's cheating. Very clearly cheating.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Which one do you reckon it is, Dan?
That's a footballer.
Oh, really?
Okay. Nice. Yeah. No, you Googled him.
I think he's that 19-year-old lad from Brazil.
If you've got that hunch, I'll back you.
Because he's on loan at Lommel at the minute.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that one, yeah. He is. He is, you're right. What about number seven, Ante Palaversa?
Just for the record, I would have actually put him down as a footballer. He sounds like a footballer, does Diego Rosa.
What about Ante Palaversa?
I can dancer there.
Mm.
Go on then, next.
Number eight, Filip Stefanovic.
That is a very regen name. Like you've put two footballers together there.
Yeah, there's another one coming up.
What are you going for
that
there?
Sounds a lot like a regen name.
I am going to go footballer.
Footballer, right.
Were these dancers you got just from your favourite list of dancers, was it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Although I've realised in my haste to put this together, I've got one dancer on it twice. So there's nine questions, actually. Oh, dear. Never mind. Number 10. This is a great region name.
Oh, this is number 9. I haven't got 10. This is number 9.
Number 9, sorry. Yeah, it's number 10 on my list because I've got someone on twice. Fernando Rodriguez.
Oh, that's a good one. He could be...
That's a very generic football name, isn't it?
It's also a generic dancer name, isn't it?
Mm.
Fernando.
So the classic quiz with 9 questions.
I
was doing
the
this
5-5 split, but it's not going to
happen. I've heard, you know... They're thinking about tweaking the decimal system, aren't they? You know, like monetary and stuff, making it units of 9.
I mean, I was doing this as I was leaving the house, and I think it's probably shown now. But
so is he a dancer that's been involved in a marriage breakup maybe at some point?
Who, sorry?
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Or is he a young South American starlet?
Mm, could be either, couldn't he?
He's going to have good hips either way, isn't he?
Right.
I've got 5 dancers and 4 footballers here.
Yeah, I've got 1, 2, 3. I've got 4 dancers and 5 footballers.
Let's go through them then. Pedro Porro.
Pedro Porro. Okay. Have you got details on
them? I've got a bit of detail. Oh, I've got a bit of bio about each of them.
I think he is a footballer.
Dan, I went
footballer.
He is. They paid £10.8 million for him from Girona. He's a right back and he's currently on loan at Sporting Club de Portugal, which is Sporting Lisbon, as they are known. But £10.8 million.
Has he ever played for City?
No. Right. I don't think any of them have ever played.
Oh, well. I just want to look at him. Pedro Porro, how do you spell his surname?
P-O-R-R-O.
P-O-R-R-O. Just having a look at him there. He could be on the ballroom circuit easily.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he isn't as well. I'm not sure he'd have the time. But I think from trying to work out who's won ballroom competitions, I think ballroom has been affected by COVID as well, because there seems to be some competitions that seem to have taken place last year. And a lot of them don't have any kind of Wikipedia either. It was quite difficult to find the dancers.
You've been looking for like the League Cup of ballroom dancing. Papa John's.
Basically, yeah. Number 2, Arunas Bizokas.
I went for dancer there.
I did too.
You're correct. He's born in Lithuania. He's a professional ballroom dancer who's currently representing the USA. His current partner is Katusha Demidova. As a couple, they won the 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Ballroom Dance Championships. It's good, isn't it?
So he's kind of, he's very European Super
he's
League.
Like the PSG of ballroom dancing.
Ah, good.
Number 3, Ricardo Cochi.
You see, he's going to be a footballer, isn't he? But I've put him down as a dancer.
I've put dancer.
He is a dancer. Oh, he was also on my list twice. But yes, he is. He's a 10 times, he's from Italy, and he's a 10 times undefeated Latin dance champion.
Ricardo Cochi. How do you spell his name? Ricardo Coconut Rum.
That's it. That's the fella.
Cochi. How do you spell it?
C-O-C-C-H-I.
H-I. Let's have a look at him.
Because I've got kids, I find it really hard to not spell things in a childish way now. I want to go, Curlica. Oh, Curlica, Curlica.
Oh, yeah, he's a ballroom dancer. Latin dancer, sorry.
Yeah. Nahuel Bustos.
I think footballer there.
Oh, I've gone dancer there.
He was a footballer. Oh. Well, he is a footballer. He's a 23-year-old striker that they paid £5.85 million for. and then immediately moved into Girona.
What's his name? First name?
Nahuel. N-A-H-U-E-L.
Nahuel Bustos.
So a 23-year-old striker from Argentina.
Again, could easily be a Latin dancer.
What are they doing buying him? Like, he's never going to play for him, is he? He's not even. He wasn't even brilliant in Argentina, looking at his stats. Number five, Michael Malatowski.
I keep thinking of Roman Malinowski, who's the player that we were linked with. But I'm going to go... I think I put footballer, but I'm starting to think dancer maybe now.
I have put footballer.
Footballer.
He's a 41-year-old from Poland. He won his 2000 and 2009 World Professional Latin title. And in 2012, him and his partner won the Latin dance at the Blackpool Dance Festival.
Yeah, in the old ballroom there.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think we say he's a 41-year-old from Poland who plays for City's under-23s with Scott Carson.
So, number six, Diego Rosa.
We know, I think we got that right, didn't we?
You did, of course, yes. Yeah. But yeah, paid £5.4 million for him from Gremio. Don't need him, do they? Just send him out to Belgium. Why not? Ante Palaversa.
Got to be a dancer.
Yeah, I've gone dancer.
No. £5.67 million from Hajduk Split in 2019. They've since loaned him back to Hajduk Split and then Oostend, Getafe, and he's currently in Kortrijk, which is Belgium.
I need to play more Football Manager, I think.
So there you go.
Felipe, what's his mush?
Filip Stefanovic, footballer or dancer?
I went footballer.
He's going to be a dancer, isn't he? I went footballer, though.
He is a footballer.
Oh, good.
£7.65 million they paid for him.
From?
Partizan Belgrade, and then they loaned him straight back to Partizan Belgrade, and now he's at Heerenveen.
Right.
Again, £6.75 million, whatever.
Chump change, innit, for them?
Absolutely not bothered about it. And finally, number nine, finally, Fernando Rodriguez.
Right.
It's a very footballery name.
I've gone ballroom.
Dancer, yeah.
Correct. Alongside Carlo Rossi, he won the Mundial de Tango.
Do you know what that stands for?
World Tango
exactly.
Cup.
Yeah. I was going to tell
Championships.
You, but, yeah, you got there first. the old Tango
the trophy. Tango Trophy Shield.
Yeah,
yeah, it was in the salon category. Yeah, that's
room, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know what where the others were dancing. There was salon and something else. I can't remember. Salon and stage, I think.
Salon category.
Within it was very much within tango as a category.
This is beauty salons. This is not
Carlo Rossi as well needs some credit. She was his partner for that.
So I scored there that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got six famous 6 out of 9 score.
I've also got 6 out of 9. Yeah,
not bad.
What's
not
that
bad.
As a percentage, Michael?
Percentages out of hundreds. You don't do that. Yeah. I only go to 90%, and you got 60% out of 90%, which is the way percentages work now.
Let's have a look. What are the 6 classification of dances? It must be something to do with salon. I don't see anything about salon. You've made that up.
There were 2 winners listed for each year that I found.
Tango de Salon. Oh, it's related to that. Okay.
Yeah. I don't understand dancing.
Tango de Salon.
There's not an awful lot about dancing. I think because it's on BBC, I thought it'd be like a big thing, the old ballroom dancing. People seem to like that, but the kind of your everyday ballroom fan.
I've got it. Right, bear with me. Tango Styles, got a website on it, Tango de Salon. The term Tango de Salon refers to a variety of social dance styles, including Via Urquiza, Milonguero, and club-style tangos that are danced socially in salons rather than for exhibition like Fantasia or Tango. Okay. Escenario or in improper venues.
I can only think of Vic Reeves doing a club style tango.
Traditional tango de salon requires that dancers exercise respect for the line of dance, but the embraces and characteristic movements can vary considerably across individual styles. Outside Argentina, what is sometimes called salon style tango may refer to those other ones that I said before that I'm not going to repeat, or a blend of them. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, to finish off this Man City section, someone asked Michelle Norwomanton. Someone has submitted as their name. Did you see I'm a Celebrity? Anyone?
Sadly not.
Bit of it.
No.
Saw that last from the Saturdays, shivering like a shitting dog and drinking some eyeballs, and that was about it.
Okay. And Adrian says, what's your favourite pub in Leeds? Don't get out much.
No.
Brudenell's always good.
Yeah, Brudenell's good. Is it technically a pub? Mm.
Cardigan Arms is good on Kirkstall Road.
That is good.
It's a proper pub.
It's slightly less terrifying than it used to be as well. My sister used to live near there, and in the old days, there was I once got talking to a Man U fan called Wayne, actually, who was telling me he just got out of prison.
Oh, nice.
You sort of get talking to someone and you think, have a good night, mate. We're booked in the restaurant, so we're going to go. It's just that.
Which one? I'll come with you.
Yeah, it was the, what's it called? The tapas place next door.
Not Revolution de Cuba, it was Cuba de something.
Some of that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we're in there, but oh, we'll go for a drink first. Terrifying way, and instead, where else is good in Leeds? Three Legs, obviously a classic.
Yeah.
The Garden Gate in Hunslet, have you ever been there?
No, I've not.
It's a really odd, it's like built in the middle of a housing estate, and there's like a perfectly preserved Victorian pub.
Oh, nice.
It's quite nice in the middle of it all.
Viva Cuba.
Viva Cuba, that's it.
That's the old
one. And Steve says, should we talk about last season's win?
Yes. Yeah, there is that as well to cover off, isn't it? And do you know, actually, last night's absolute dicking does frame what we did there last season. I know they were slightly depleted and they cheated by putting Kevin De Bruyne on the bench last season, so we didn't have to face him. But what a monumental achievement to beat them there last season on their way to the... Did they win the league title? Yes. Let's say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And to do it with 10 men, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But maybe because it, I think it's Moscow's written, hasn't he, the match report, where it kind of forced us into being more compact and to defend on the edge of our area, whereas last night we were just wide open.
Just keep pushing forward, except we can't. Keep trying to push forward, having the ball taken off you and letting them score.
Well, there we go.
That's the Man City reaction.
That is the Man City reaction. What do you think of that?
Enjoyed it a lot.
Good. I feel like we've all learned something anyway about Salon, the Tango de Salon, whatever it was.
Mm. Who's your favourite dancer off that list? Who's the best?
Probably going to say...
You can't look past Bizokas, I don't think, yeah, given his titles.
I mean, I scribbled these down really quickly, so I'm struggling to read my own writing.
I didn't bother writing them down, so I'll go with the guy who's got the Bayern Munich record.
I quite like Fernando Rodriguez.
Although I don't know if...
he was a footballer, wasn't he?
I don't understand how ballroom dancing works, because Bizokas is from Lithuania, but he's representing America. Has he done that? Is that a cynical ploy? Is he cashing in on?
Isn't that what Martina Navratilova did?
All he cares about is the Yankee dollar, and he's going after it for the in the ballroom.
Yeah. What's your favourite style of dancing? Dad.
Lap. That's when I'm doing it.
On that image,
I'm just looking at Bizokas. Oh, he's not what I imagined, actually.
Let's have a look.
It's very. He's got a big old chin on him. I suppose it's the ballroom style, isn't it? There's a normal picture of him, but there he's pointing his. You got to point your chin, I think, haven't you, when you're doing the?
I don't know. It's beyond my understanding. Well, should we wrap it up there then?
Should we get into ballroom dancing?
Should we do it?
That's the next part of the pod, isn't it? The preview of the big weekend.
Preview of
Strictly final, isn't it? This weekend.
I dare say Bielsa would be pleased at us talking about like. Argentinian tango. It's a rich part of his cultural heritage, isn't it? I'm sure he enjoys the passion of the dance and what it represents and all that kind of jazz.
Move at the side.
Right, well, we'll wrap it up there then, I think. That was propaganda for Man City. I hope you enjoyed a slight change of direction. It was more fun for us anyway, wasn't it? And that's the important thing.
I think everyone needs a bit of a break, don't they?
Okay.
And we've got to go in and record Heroes and Villains now, haven't we? Because we've done a weird split show and stuff. So we've got to talk about more misery.
Brilliant.
In that and some praise for players who did well against Chelsea, who we now hate. So, great stuff.
So yeah, tune in for that. Don't miss out. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.